I enjoyed that, amen. What do we call them? The something quartet? I don't know. I liked it, amen. Praise the Lord. I especially like that last verse. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise. Hallelujah, think about that. 10,000 years, still there's no less. It's just going to keep going. Never less, just always more. That's kind of cool. Praise the Lord. All right, turn me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, amen. I'm going to read verses 31 to 46 to start off this morning. Now, we're going to study sin this morning, but that doesn't mean that's all we're going to focus on, praise the Lord. Because sin's just the start of it, amen. Well, let's just take a look at these verses. Let's see what Jesus had to say. And then we'll just enjoy our time together, do some studying, and we'll take it to the house. Verse 31, the Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall prepare them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them, On the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? Verse 38, he said, When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? Verse 40, he said, And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Yeah. Verse 41, Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time we gather together. And Lord, the singing, it's already been so good to be here. And Lord, our spirits just get stirred by the singing of your holy, precious word, Lord. And when we can sing hymns that directly relate to the Bible and also stir our hearts and get us excited for you. And God, I thank you for what we just heard, Lord, Amazing Grace. That should never get old. They say it's America's favorite hymn, and some people are starting to hear things like people are getting sick of it, and media is starting to say it's played too much. But Lord, there's no such thing as singing too much about your grace. And Lord, it's all about grace. Grace is how we get to heaven. Grace is your plan of salvation. It's not by anything we can do, Lord, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you that it's because of grace our sin can be conquered. And God, we just love you. We just ask that you could bless this time as we study and worship you, Lord. And Lord, use me as you see fit. Allow me to preach as you see fit. And not that I do anything that I need to do, but that you would do what you need to do here, Lord. And God, we love you and we thank you. Most of all, Lord, if there's anyone here who knows you not as Savior, I just ask that the preaching your word and as they study your Bible, not what I say, it becomes clear to them that they can make a choice, Lord, that will have an implication on their eternity. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this day in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus, he gives it pretty clear here. He's talking about the judgment, that future judgment. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you guys. I'm going to be on the right-hand side. That's the good side. That's the side that says, you know what? I love you, Jesus. I trusted in you. I'm following you by faith. Amen. That's the side that you want to be on. I tell you what. The world's going to take these verses and say, well, wow, what a hateful God. He's sending people to hellfire and eternal fire and judgment. And he's telling them to depart, and he's calling them cursed in verse 41. But notice, what does verse 41 actually say after the comma? It says, prepared for the devil and his angels. But notice, when he's calling people, when these verses started, way down when we were reading, what was it? Verse 32 says that all the nations are gathering before him. All the nations are gathering before him. Now, that's not just the devil and his angels. That's everyone. And you've either trusted Christ or you haven't. It's that simple. Bible makes it clear here. If you've trusted Christ, you're going to where God wants you. 2 Peter 3:9, we're going to study it in a bit. And we're going to look at verse 8, too. It tells us that it's not God's will that any should perish. When this world says, wow, that's a hateful God that created hell, they are misquoting the Bible. They're misquoting what God actually said and what God actually wants. He wants all people to get saved. God is not about creed or race or religion or countries. He doesn't care about any of that. He just cares about people who love his son and trust what the word says. That's all he wants. This world tries to make it look like religion's the problem. Now, I would say the word religion itself has become a problem because people are now misquoting what that actually means. And that word, you know, you can involve religion all you want, but it's not about that. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And God makes that really clear here. He said, you know what? He said, if you've done it unto the least of my brethren. Jesus said, Jesus knew they didn't feed him or clothe him, any of those people he was talking to. He knew they didn't take care of them and bring them in when he was out in the wilderness and when he was out in the cities. He said, you know what? You do that unto the least of my brethren and you've done it to me. Most people don't realize when they're serving and taking care of people or going to a brother and sister in Christ's house and helping them out, that they're also serving the King. And if we could look at the work we do and the things we do, I'm talking in your job and at home. I'm talking when you're with friends or wherever you are. If you can really think of it as that, you're going to take it way more seriously. Tomorrow I'm moving Kelsey's grandmother out of her house because she's 86 years old. You like, I've heard this, Jake. I'm not going to look at it as I'm only helping Graham. I'm doing this for the Lord, okay? You say, Jake, you work down in a cafeteria and you're the head cook at Barnett School. I don't just cook for children. I cook and make food for the Lord, okay? Any job you have in this world, so long as it aligns with the Word of God and it's not against Scripture, there are some jobs in this world that are very ungodly and that no one should be involved with. I have to say that sadly. But you know what? If we just look at it as service for Christ, we're going to take it way more seriously. And you know what? So will God. He will thank you for your willing service. Jesus said, you know what? You served me when you were doing these things. You didn't realize it. And people need to just appreciate what they've done and what they've done for Christ and take it more seriously. In the end, sadly, verse 41, Jesus said, you know what? This is what's going to happen. It's as simple as this. You're either with me or you're against me. And the world will twist that into hate, like I said. But what they don't understand is that there's a God that loves them, that does not want them to perish, that wants them to come to Him, to love one another. The greatest commandment Jesus gave the world was to love one another as you love yourself. That is a serious commandment. This world fails at that every single day. You don't have to look in the news to know that's a failure. Sometimes I fail at doing that. Sometimes I don't love people the way I should love them. Why? Because I'm a sinner. Why do you do that? Because you're a sinner, okay? Now, I could get bogged down on this, but we need to take a look here. Jesus simply explained that, you know what? You can trust me, or you can go against me, and you see the ending, and that it was what? It was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't even made for people. People are meant for heaven. That's what God wants. But God gives you the choice. Crazy. Everyone wants to go to heaven. No one wants to die. That's another common thing you see these days. And a lot of funerals, when people don't know, they just say, so-and-so is looking down at us. You don't know for sure. I don't even know for sure if my wife's saved. I'm pretty sure she is by how she's living and what I see and what I hear from her. But you really don't know about anyone except for yourself. And that's really the one thing you really need to focus on. You get saved, I tell you what, it's going to change your life. And you're going to care about other people. And you do know a tree by the fruit it bears. You do know a Christian when you see one. And it'll come out in the end if they're not saved. It will. It does every single time. Trust me. Now, verse 41, he made it clear what it was prepared for. But what is the real cause of all this? Well, Satan fell originally. He created that first sin, right? He wanted to be a throne above God. Now, Satan's initial job was what? To help worship God. To play the music. And we have descriptions of Satan in the Bible that say he's not an ugly guy. And that he really was initially meant to help worship God. Now, all of us, our true job, we really should just bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. That's our true job. That's what God wants us to do. In the end, that's what we're going to do in heaven. Amazing Grace was singing about it. We have no less days to sing His praise. What do you think we're going to be doing in heaven? We're going to be feasting. I'm excited about that. We're going to be feasting. And we're probably just going to be just singing praises forever. And thanking Him forever. Because why? No more pain, no more tears, Revelation tells us. He's going to wipe away all our tears. No more death, no more sorrow. That sounds like a pretty good place to me. But yet the world, you know the Word of God's accurate. Every time you try and go witness to someone, you try and either hand them a tract or just tell them Jesus loves them, you know that the Word of God's accurate because it says in the last days there's going to be scoffers and haters, people who don't like the Word of God, people who don't want to go to heaven, people who don't even care about their own souls. We're there right now. So let's study a little bit this morning, and let's go. I just said I want to look at 2 Peter. Let's go there now. 2 Peter, I'm going to start in verse 8 of chapter 3. And this is one of my favorite verses when I'm dealing with someone who's a Calvinist. Thankfully, I haven't had to come across too many, but people actually believe God destines people to hell, and I just can't understand why they get that from the Word of God. Because He understands what your choice is from the start of the world doesn't mean He puts you there. Okay? He understands whether or not someone's getting saved. He knows the people who are going to choose hell, which is just saying no to His Son. They don't really realize. If they realized they were choosing hell, they'd say no. Because once they get there, they're going to realize it was the wrong choice. Now, God said, I give you the choice. God said, I'm not forcing anyone there. Why? This verse, if anyone tries to tell you that, is clear enough to tell you that that's not true. First verse 8, he said, but beloved, referring to the verses 3 to 7 before, he said, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What's the promise? As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Every day when God sees people dying, cursing people, murdering, raping, killing innocent babies that haven't even been born yet. That's a pre-born child. I don't even like to call it an unborn child. Because you know what? It's a pre-born human being. It's already alive. Heart's beating at week 6. God makes that clear. And he says, you know what? He says, this is my promise to you, word. And I'm long-suffering. He said, not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want a single person to die and go to hell. That's what he says in his word. And then he said this, but that all should come to repentance. He wants every single person to choose Christ. He wants every single person to choose that amazing grace we heard sung about. Yeah. That's what he wants. Verse 10, he said, but the day of the Lord will come. Yeah. It's going to happen. Whether or not you choose, it's coming. I praise the Lord I chose. I'm taking the first bus out. Amazing grace. I keep talking about it, but it was also singing about that. As we're rising up through the sky, amen. I mean, it's going to happen. Sweet Hour Prayer, there was a verse about it too. The rapture will happen. Now, either I'm going to be alive when it happens, and I'm going to go up instantly with all of the people who are saved, or I'm going to go through the grave. Either way, I'm going to God. Why? I trusted Christ as my Savior 4.5 years ago, amen? And that was the greatest decision I ever made, and it's not something I'll ever be ashamed about. So God wants all people. You want to know something about sin? God hates it so much that he wants everyone not to have to deal with it ever again. When we get to heaven, that's what it's going to be like. No sin ever again. Yeah. Sin can't be there. Unrighteousness can't be there. That's why you got to be saved. Because when God looks at a saved child, he doesn't look at sin. He looks at perfection. Why? Because the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. That is an awesome thing we can get excited about. Next, God made it clear how. So people will first of all say, what a hateful God. He's sending people to hell. They're misquoting scripture. We just studied in Matthew 25, verse 41, that God said it's made for devil and the angels. Okay? It's made for even angels. That's kind of crazy because angels even have the free choice. Satan even had the free choice. But God is more powerful. He's already made a place for him. He already knew about it. It did not shock God when Satan said, you know what? I want to be higher than you. That didn't surprise God. It doesn't surprise God. Any decision we make, it's not a shocker to him. Why? Because he already knows what we're going to do. He already knows who in this room is saved. He already knows who in this room will never get saved. I hope that's not true. But that's how amazing God's knowledge is. The foreknowledge of God. That's not predestination, that's foreknowledge. Now, 2 Peter makes that clear, just studied out. But God also made it clear there's only really one way. The world tries to say, do whatever you want, do what's right to you, do what feels good for you. That's where we're at today. You're seeing that in this country right now. But the sad thing is, what is the path to destruction, the Bible says what? It's a wide way. But straight and narrow is the path to salvation. Once again, just like Matthew 25, 41, the world will say, wow, that's so evil. You're making it really narrow to get to heaven. Well, actually, if you look at the way to heaven, it's actually really easy. It's just trusting that Christ is who he said he was, that he paid for all your sin debt when he died on that cross, and he paid for death too when he rose again for you. That's simple. That's not complicated. I'm glad it's only that way. Because if it was a wide way and there were many other ways, I'd probably confuse it and mix it up. And I'd ruin my chances. I'm glad for Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, too, that it says, for by grace, that grace they were singing about. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's about faith and grace. It's free. That's awesome. Okay? But the world, they'll still twist the scripture. They'll change the Bible. They'll say it's different. But you know what? Take a look here in Acts chapter 4. We know the verse 12, but I want to look at the verses leading up to it. Because this clearly shows you that there is one way to heaven. I don't find that complicated, and I'm praising the Lord for that. Amen. So let's take a look at what it says. Well, that's explaining why I'm in the wrong thing. There we go. I'm getting too excited. Verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here whole. So he's talking about the man who's been healed. Now notice this in verse 11. And this is direct quotation from Isaiah 28. He says this. He says, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." You're like, what is going on? He's still referring to that Jesus Christ in verse 10. And he made it clear, the Jesus Christ, notice, of Nazareth. Yeah. He's like, this is the man. And if that wasn't clear enough, he said, the one who you just crucified. Yeah. I mean, Peter, he might have failed and denied Christ a few times back, I don't know how many days before this occurred. But I tell you what, he's right on right here. And you know why he's right on? In verse 8, if you read it, it starts this. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." He's telling all the people this. Peter, finally, it clicked. He said, I'm never denying Christ again. He said, not only did he die, he was suffered for me, and he rose again. He said, you know what? I've already denied Jesus. But thankfully, what? Jesus forgave him. He said, Peter, you love me? Feed my sheep, right? Peter, you love me? He just made it clear to him. He said, you know what you need to do, Peter? You need to tell people how to get to heaven and that it's through me. Peter, from then on, was right on. And I love Peter in the Bible because then Peter tells us one of the great verses, so simple that the world will try and twist as well, that there's so many ways to heaven, so many ways to Allah, so many ways to God. They'll twist everything. But you know what? It's simple as this. There's one true God. It's not Allah. I'm sorry. It's not. Totally different. He said in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. No other. No other name but Jesus, okay? He said, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's a must. You need to get saved. He said must. Why? Because if you don't, you're in trouble. If you don't, then the verse 41, that place in Matthew 25, talking about devil and his angels, you're going to be with them. Eternal darkness, eternal fire. You're going to constantly remember all those times you could have got saved. That is horrible. I don't want a single person to go to hell. And I mentioned it last week. You know what? God and Jesus, they didn't even want Hitler to go to hell. Even though he killed millions of his people, millions of Jewish people. He said it's not his will that any should perish. That's crazy to me. Because there are people that my flesh will just want to hate because of what they've done. I see people, what they do out in this world, and I just want to hate them. Why? Because I'm a sinner and I'm in the flesh. But that's not how God feels about them. He loves them as much as he loves me. That's amazing. That is a loving God. So you know what? He made it clear here. He's like, you know what? Not only can you know for sure you're going to heaven, it's only through Jesus. It's only trusting in him. He's like, that's how simple it is. Then look at this, and this gets me happy. Once you're saved, you're always saved. We have people who try and say, no, that's not the case. You can lose your salvation. They haven't read the Bible. They're twisting scripture again. Check out John chapter 10. I flipped lucky and I'm here already, so I'm going to start reading. In John chapter 10, verse 27, this is what the Bible says. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said. He said, and I know them and they follow me. You know what? Jesus knows whether or not you've trusted him. Why? Because you're following him. He knows you. Guarantee. He said it right here. He said, they hear me. He said, they hear me. They hear my word, whether it's preached or whether it's read. If you're a child of God, you don't just hear words read from the Bible. You feel it when you're reading it. You know it's the word of God. Now, when I was lost and used to read the scripture when I was in Catholic school, I just read the verses they told me to read, like it was a book. And I just read it. Nothing ever happened in here. Nothing happened up here. Just blah, 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 blah. I just read it. That's what the Bible was to me back in those days. But you know what? When you get saved, you hear it. Amen. It makes sense. It's very, very clear. I'm so glad for the first time when I finally heard the Roman road from Kelson, she explained to me what it is and where I was going and what I needed to do, that it clicked. Because if it didn't click, none of this would have clicked. And Jesus said, you know what? You hear me. I know you. He said, I know them and they follow me. Notice, you follow what Jesus told you. And then what does he say? I give, it's a gift, unto them eternal life. By the way, if you look that up, it's eternal life. It never ends. Jehovah's Witnesses will try and say eternal life here does not actually mean forever. They will actually argue that to you. It is eternal life, he said, and they shall never perish. If the eternal life part wasn't clear enough that it never ends, then Jesus after that said, they'll never perish. He's like, are you getting what I'm saying? He said, you're never going to die. He said, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You cannot be taken from Jesus. So what is he saying? He said, if you've trusted in me, no way. You can't even take yourself out. That's amazing. So praise God. If you were right with God once in your life and you trusted him, don't misinterpret me. I'm not saying live like the devil after you get saved. Because you know what? The Bible talks about the sin unto death. If you're saved, yeah, he's going to take care of you. He's going to zip you out so you're not a bad testimony. But you cannot take yourself from God. That's amazing. That gets me excited. Then he says this, verse 29, if it wasn't good enough that you're not going to be plucked out of his hand, he brings dad into the business. I'm talking capital dad, the one and only father we can call father. Catholics have that mixed up too. They say you can call the priest father. That's not what the Bible says. Capital father here, God, he said, my father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Notice, there's none that can be compared. Greater than all. All includes all. He said, and no man is able to pluck them out of my father's hand. Now, if that wasn't cool enough, okay, you've got Jesus holding you, and then you've got the father holding you, and then Jesus makes the claim that the Pharisees and the Sadducees used to crucify him. What does he say? He said, I and my father are one. Jesus is God in the flesh. Makes it really clear here. So we have a lot of biblical truth here, but the best thing I get out of this, even beyond that Christ was also God, was that when you're saved, you are set. You're sealed. You always cite Ephesians 4:30. You are sealed unto that day of redemption. That is awesome. Now, you can also have just this verse, and I get excited. Let's go back. Let's go to 1 Peter, just before 2 Peter, where we already were. Chapter 1. It's good stuff here. Oh, I'm in 2 Peter. Amen is right. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is what he had to say. Verses 3 to 5. 5 being the focus, but I want to read verses 3 and 4 because the us he says in verse 3 is really important. Talking about you and I if you're saved. He said, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us. Notice, us. It's personal. Again unto a lively hope. Why? How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's your lively hope. Because that resurrection of Christ from the dead says you're not dying. When you die, absent with the body, present with the Lord, the Bible says. If you're saved, death has nothing on you anymore. You won't be afraid of death. You're just going to be excited. Amen. You see a lot of older people, Pastor, you're just excited. You're not worried about death. Kelsey's grandmother, she's not worried about death. Sometimes she's even like, man, if I knew more of what heaven was like, I'd want to just take my own life. That's why God doesn't share everything with us, because you know what? It's going to be so great and glorious. Now, notice this. To what? To an inheritance incorruptible. It is perfect. It'll never fade away, and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It is for you personally. And then what does he say? Who? That's the us he talked about in verse 3. Are kept by the power of God. We were studying God's faithfulness at Sunday school. Well, we're kept by that power of God. Notice, through faith. Faith. Through faith unto what? Salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. It's going to be revealed to you in the end. Praise the Lord that you trusted in Christ. It's going to really be made manifest. He said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. You know what? You can tell a Christian when you meet them. They're happy. I'm not saying I'm always happy, but generally I'm happy, okay? And praise the Lord. He said, why? You greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, God brings it in what I was just saying. He said, you know what? There's going to be some rough times. Christians are genuinely going to be happy. But he said, you know what? If there need be, you're in heaviness through what? Manifold temptations. Why? Because you still live in the flesh. Your soul's been redeemed. Your spirit has been awakened because you got saved. But you're still in the flesh. Temptations are still real. Family, loved ones, lost people, still dying. People still getting murdered. People still getting attacked. Rights still being taken away. That's what he's talking about. He said, but you know what? You can still get excited because you know you're saved. That's awesome. And you're kept by that power of God. You cannot be taken away from that. Jude, before we move on. The book of Jude. Verse 24 and 25. Brother Jake, what chapter? The only chapter. Verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's enough right there to guarantee me that I'm all set with God. But he goes on, he said, to the only wise God, our Savior. Notice there, the capital Savior, but he says God, our Savior. Why? Because the Son and God are one. Because God is your Savior. The world will try and condemn God and say, God's the reason why so-and-so did this, or God's the reason why so-and-so died. No, 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 no. That happened because we're all sinners. That happened because Adam and Eve failed in the beginning. Death passed upon all men, the Bible says in Romans 5:12. He said, for all have sinned, exactly, and come short of the glory of God. We all come short. But you know what? We can be excited. If you get saved, you're not coming short anymore. You're matching up to God's standard. That's amazing. Because of that cross, you can match up to God's standard. Okay, if I made it clear enough that once you're saved, you're always saved, let's just finish here. I wrote a question. Do you know for sure? That's what it says right here. Do you know for sure? That is a really important question. Anna's going to be coming up to the piano. And we don't need to worry about singing this morning. I just have that question. Do you know for sure? That is such an important question. Anna, you can play 145, please. If you already know for sure, praise the Lord, you need to just be praying for people you know who don't know for sure. You can pray on the altar. You can pray in your pew. There's plenty of room to pray for those you know who are lost. If you don't have someone to pray for Aslan. That's my lost sister. She's going to hell right now today. Pray for Cortland, Kelsey's brother. Right now he's lost. Pray for someone you know who's lost. Now, do you know for sure? I said that because I want to make sure you know for sure. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says this, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead. That's who you should trust in this morning. That's why I wrote, do you know for sure? That's why the Bible, throughout the whole book, makes it clear, do you know for sure? Do you have that salvation? God's not complicated. Today is the day of salvation, he said. It's today. 1 John 5:12, he said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Talk about making it simple. If you've trusted Christ, the Bible says, you're all set, you have life. If you have not, you do not have that life. Then in verse 13, you know what, I'll turn there and read it directly for you. You can't go wrong with it. God makes it clear. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Once again, like before, you know for sure you're saved. You know you cannot be taken away from that. He said that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. If you know someone who hasn't done that this morning, now's the time to pray. We're just going to have a time of prayer here as we finish up. And I implore you to consider that for yourself if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven.